Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pranamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Kauravani Pajarne Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya De Satarne Om Agyanatvananda Syagyananjana Salakaya Shaksur Noitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyam Ravishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padanti Kam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Zitam Sta Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Dhatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshina Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Drupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanamite Karino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajanan Nandena Matvaliko Pande Rupa Sanatana Raguyaga Shri Jiva Gopala Go. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Srila Gopala Bhat Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles to the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all of the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis, and are engaged in the transcendent loving service of Radha and Krishna. Now we're going to read from the fifth chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, entitled The Purity of Devotional Service. So in the preface, Prabhupada has gone over a definition of bhakti, specifically bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Prabhupada's book called The Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Bhakti has been defined as devotional service, something which is active and is meant for Krishna. And Rasa has been defined as a mellow taste, an enjoyable sweet taste, like the juice, the sweet taste of ripened fruit juice. And Amrita, Bhakti Ras Amrita. Amrita means that unlike material pleasure, it's not chapala sukha, it's not flickering. It's Amrita, it's eternal, immortal. It goes on forever. So it's bhakti, which is meant for Krishna, service meant for Krishna, out of devotion, devotional service to Krishna. Rasa, which gives a mellow taste, enjoyable taste, which is amrita, which is permanent, unlike material taste, which is bhoga tyaga, sometimes enjoyable, and then we have to renounce it to seek another taste in the material world, because we grow tired of it. So it's rasa, and it's amrita, it's eternal. And sindhu, it's an ocean, not just a drop. In the material world, we may experience some pleasure from sense gratification, but it's like a drop in the desert. But this is an ocean of enjoyable pleasure which goes on forever. Therefore, which is based upon loving service to Krishna. Therefore, the book is called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's been explained in the preface. And in the introduction, something about the history of the compilation of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has been explained, along with the qualities of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service has been defined by the Paribhasa Sloka, which is Anyabhilasita Shunyam Jnana Karma Daravritam Anukul Yena Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So this is in the introduction. Prabhupada explains that its devotional service is meant to be favorable, in a favorable mood, following the predecessor acharyas, what they know is pleasing to Krishna, that's called anushilanam. In a favorable way, it's called anukulanam. And that's the definition of devotional service, something that's done favorable to Krishna, with a desire to please Krishna. And then more specifically, pure devotional service is without material desires and without desire for liberation or any other extraneous desires. It's anyabhilasita shunyam, devoid of all kinds of material conceptions and desires. And at the same time, although one may engage in ritualistic activities or cultivation of knowledge, such knowledge and cultivation of ritualistic activities shouldn't cover over bhakti. Just like one may read to cultivate knowledge, but that if that knowledge leads to the impersonal conception of life, then it's considered to be covering bhakti. But knowledge reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains about the personality of Godhead, his name, his form, his quality, and his pastimes, such cultivation of knowledge is certainly favorable for cultivating devotional service. So that's then in chapter 1, we find out there are 6 qualities of pure devotional service. 2 qualities in sadhana bhakti, 2 qualities in bhava bhakti, and 2 qualities in prema bhakti. 2 qualities in sadhana bhakti are known as it destroys material distress, so kleshagni, and subhada. Subhada means it's all auspicious. It gives one all auspicious qualities. 2 qualities in bhava bhakti is that lagu moksha krit, those who are in bhava bhakti deride even the conception of liberation, and it's sudurlava, it's rarely achieved. And for prema bhakti, there are 2 qualities, sandarananda visheshatma, it gives one unlimited transcendental pleasure, and Krishna karshani, it's the only means by which one can attract Krishna. So these are the 6 qualities of devotional service in the different stages. And in first chapter 2, the first stage is that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has explained about general description of pure devotional service. So that devotional service means it's inherent with everyone, within everyone. And by the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, one can gradually invoke one's original devotional qualities or devotional sentiments towards Krishna. And it's based upon basically the premise to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And then in the third chapter that we find that the difference between pure devotional service and just ordinary devotional service. That there are 3 classes of devotees. The first class, Uttama Adhikari, second class, Madhyama Adhikari, and third class, Kanishta Adhikari. So the Uttama Adhikari is certainly engaged in pure devotional service, and the Madhyama Adhikari also is cultivating pure devotional service. And the Kanista is trying to raise himself up to pure devotional service, which means free from all kinds of material conceptions and desires. Generally, those performing devotional service, ordinary devotional service, to divide into four classes: the distressed, the desirous of money, those who are inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge. So one has to raise oneself up to the platform of knowledge, understanding Krishna consciousness, having faith in Krishna consciousness, having faith in the scriptural injunctions and following them. When we raise ourselves up to knowledge, then we become eligible for pure devotional service. So the advantage of pure devotional service has been explained previously, that by pure devotional service, it actually relieves us from all material distress and develops good quality. Well, generally in the beginning, we practice devotional service just to get free from distress, and when we're free from distress, we notice that actually I'm feeling secure, and then we feel secure, and then we raise ourselves up to being a little inquisitive, you know, how to make my life better, and our life becomes a little better. Then we realize that devotional service is actually supposed to be spiritual. It's not supposed to be concentrated upon making a better material existence. And then we become inquisitive about what actual devotional service means, and then when we cultivate knowledge of pure devotional service, then we rise up to the Madhyama Adhikari platform, where we see Krishna and we try to love him. We see the devotees, we try to make friendship with them. We see the innocent, we try and elevate them, and we avoid those who are antagonistic towards Krishna and his devotees. And by such cultivation of pure devotional service, one gradually rises up to Uttama Adhikari platform, and then all the different qualities of pure devotional service, such as Bhava Bhakti, are revealed, that is rarely achieved, and one is not even interested in liberation anymore. And gradually one comes to Vishundara Nanda Visheshatma and Krishna Karshana. So that's the eligibility. The person most eligible beginning pure devotional service is the Brahmin. Because of his knowledge, he understands the value of pure devotional service. While others may see pure devotional service as a means to get some material benefit. And now in chapter 4, it describes how devotional service surpasses all liberation. Many quotes were given, because we can understand that within liberation automatically is included sense gratification, which is considered completely insignificant compared to actual liberation. And that if one drop of sense gratification is multiplied billions of times, it wouldn't equal to even one drop from the ocean of happiness obtained from liberation. But if one atomic particle of a drop of the ocean of devotional service was multiplied billions of times, or if pleasure from liberation were multiplied billions of times, it wouldn't equal an atomic fraction of one drop in the ocean of devotional service. So certainly devotional service is inconceivable. Now we're up to the purity of devotional service. This is all under Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, the first parts of the Nectar of Devotion, I think up until around chapter 16. Deals with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Devotional service, following the rules and regulations of the Guru and Shastra, Guru Sadhana and Shastra. Here in the fifth chapter, Srila Rupa Goswami will explain that devotional service is not part of the material world. It doesn't have material cause. That it can be performed by anyone, he says. It's transcendental to all material considerations. It's not limited to any particular country or society or circumstance, and it's open for everyone without any distinction as to caste or whatever birth we may have taken or occupational duty. Of course, this for us in the Western world is not surprising because we're used to it, but even 50 years ago, such a conception did not exist within India. Until Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was preaching, he established that anyone from any part of the world could actually become a devotee of Krishna, could actually become a Vaishnava. Although in India previously, up until a short period of time, the general conception was that in order to become a Vaishnava, one would have to be born in a Brahmin family. But by birth, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda, he started a more or less a revolution within India that the qualification to engage in devotional service was not birth. And many of the caste Brahmins by birth, were very unhappy with that. In fact, they even went so far as wanting to kill Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati. They asked one policeman to assassinate him, but he refused to do it. And when Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda went on one pilgrimage to Vrindavan, then they closed all the stores in Vrindavan, because on the pilgrimage he had many initiated Brahmins who were not born in Brahmin families. So the caste Brahmins had all the storekeepers close all the stores, and they even threw rocks at the devotees to disrupt the party. So Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda established that devotional service is not restricted to a particular class of men, and anyone who is engaged in devotional service is already at the status of being a high-class Brahmin. There's one book by Brahmins and Vaishnavas by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. So he preached very vigorously on the basis of Shastra. At one meeting, his father, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was invited to attend, where the Vaishnavas were arguing with the Brahmins. There was a debate. And Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur was ill at that time, so he sent his son, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur, and he gave a speech at the conference, at the debate, praised the Brahmins, how exalted the Brahmins were, so they felt very good. And then he showed, by scriptural evidence, how if one becomes a Vaishnava, automatically one becomes a first-class Brahmin. So he established the supremacy over the Vaishnavas, over the Brahmins. And the rest of the chapter deals with many, well, not the whole chapter, but many quotes are here. In the Padma Purana, about birth, the sage Vashistha tells King Dilipa, "My dear king, everyone has the right to execute devotional service, just as he has the right to take early bath in the month of Magh, December, January. Generally, if you go to India, no one will stop you from taking bath in the month of Magh. It's quite cold at that time, December, January. So no one will stop and say you're not qualified to take a bath early in the month of Magh. So similarly, no one should say that no one has a right to perform devotional service unless one is born in a certain family. In the Skanda Purana is said, in the Kasi Kanda portion, in the country known as Mayuradwaja, the lower caste people who are considered less than Shudras are also initiated in the Vaishnava cult of devotional service. And when they are properly dressed with tilak on their bodies and beads in their hands and on their necks, they appear to be coming from Vaikuntha. In fact, they look so very beautiful that immediately they surpass the ordinary Brahmins." And in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, who compiled it, it is said, "Yata kanchanatam yadi kangsa rasa vidana taha tata diksha vidanena dvijitam jayatam jayatamena." Therein he has clearly stated that any person who is properly initiated into the Vaishnava cult certainly becomes a Brahmin. As much as the metal known as kamsa, bell metal is turned into gold by the mixture of mercury. A bona fide spiritual master, under the guidance of authorities, can turn anyone to the Vaishnava cult so that naturally he may come to the topmost position of a Brahmin. And then Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda cautions us that we should not think that simply by being initiated then we come to the platform of a high-class devotee. That initiation means the beginning, if we don't render service to Krishna, then we'll fall down. So therefore, one has to discharge the duties and follow the rules and regulations very strictly if one wants to become elevated. And as purity, as far as purity goes, the Vaishnavas need have nothing to do with prayaschitta, performances for reformation. One simply has to execute the rules and regulations for discharging devotional service. Generally, if one commits some sinful activity, if he's engaged in Gyanakanda, then he has to go through prayaschitta, a whole series of reformations. And if one is engaged in Gyanakanda, or Jnana Yoga, then one falls down from that position if he commits even the slightest breaking of the rules and regulations. But if one commits some mistake in devotional service, one simply has to go on with devotional service, and then that mistake will be rectified. And as far as Vanashram Dharma goes, bhakti should have no tinge of philosophical speculation or ritualistic performances. Tyaktvasa dharmam charanam buddham harer bhajana patpo ito yidi yatra kwa vadram abudam ushikem kovarta apto bhajitam siddharma taha. That one who has forsaken his material occupations, engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So one may perfectly perform the duties of varna and ashram, but actually if one does not become Krishna conscious, then one is wasting his time. So the idea is that all living entities are trying somehow or another to get the facilities for sense gratification. So even if one follows the varna and ashram system, but if one does not become a devotee, then one will simply, the only thing one will ultimately achieve is repeated birth and death. So this purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:11:29, or actually 32. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worships me alone. Thus he is considered to be the best among all living entities. And King Karabhajana Muni addresses Maharaj Nimi, and he explains that just by one stroke, devotional service, all one's obligations are fulfilled. Generally, when one takes birth, one becomes a debtor to so many different classes of people. One becomes a debtor to the demigods for supplying the necessities of life, to the great sages for supplying the information to advance in spiritual life or even material life. One becomes a debtor to his relatives, to his family, his friends, etc. But Karabhajana Muni, he says, Evarshya Bhutatman Rinam Pitrinam, Akinkaro Nayam Rinin Acharajan Saratmana Yak Sharnam Sharangyam Katomakundam Parivrityakaratam. O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, and even one's forefathers who passed away, since all such classes of living beings, entities, are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. One who is surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. And of course, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Prichaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarapapevyo Mokshi Syami Masuchaha. Just give up all varieties of activities and just surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will take care of everything else. And the Agastya Samhita, it is said that the devotees of Lord Ramachandra or Krishna are liberated persons and are not required to follow all the regular principles mentioned in the ritualistic portions of the Vedic literature. So the quote is, as the regular principles of scripture are not required by a liberated person, so the ritualistic principles indicated in the Vedic supplements are also not required for a person duly engaged in the service of Lord Ramachandra. And again, Karabhajana Muni addresses King Nimi, one who has thus given up all other engagements has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, Supreme Personality of Godhead, my dear Lord, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.42. So the conclusion is that Bhakti Yoga is totally independent and self-sufficient. No material impediment should discourage us from the path of surrender. Any questions about this? Yes.
Who invented this caste system in India?
Who invented the caste system?
Yeah, how did it come into being?
Well, it seems it started when Shringi cursed Maharaj Pariksit. The Brahmins became puffed up, and they began to think themselves to be the master of the other orders instead of their servants. And then after the Brahmins got kicked out, then the kings became very prominent. They thought that they were kings just to exploit the citizens. So then the citizens kicked them out. And then the Vaishyas, we see, they have become very prominent. They think the whole idea is to exploit everyone else, everything else. And eventually the Vaishyas will get kicked out, and you'll just have Shudras left. They'll just fight with each other. And then gradually Kali Yuga will degrade and they'll just have animals left. So the caste system is due to the fall down of the Brahminical caste, the higher caste, and just people artificially trying to exploit others, claiming themselves to be in such and such a position just by some material reason, by some material circumstance rather than quality. Asura, it's not really Vanashram, it's Asura Vanashram. Perverted reflection of Anasha. Anything else? Yes.
Is it possible for someone who owns a pub to still be pure?
For someone who owns a pub.
He's serving at the end of the night, and he's still thinking about Krishna all the time. Is he still pure inside?
Why would he own a pub if he's thinking about Krishna all the time? What's that?
Because the material nature is ordering.
No, well then. The Krishna is ordering no intoxication. Krishna orders no intoxication. So probably if it's possible to get another occupation, it's much better. Otherwise we may be thinking of Krishna sometimes, but the quality of the thoughts may not be very deep. Yeah, not exactly. Krishna is working according to our desire. So it's like someone may be killing someone. So that's not Krishna's desire. They're doing it against Krishna's desire. But because that's their desire, Krishna allows them to do it. Krishna's material world is neutral. But you have to get the reaction for it. Krishna may allow you to do it, but then you also have to receive the reaction for it. So if someone is committing sinful activities, Krishna will allow that, but then one has to get the reaction for it. Krishna will also allow the reaction. Therefore, if one wants to become Krishna conscious, the definition is one's activities have to be favorable too, towards Krishna. Has to be an anushulanam, which means doing which is favorable towards Krishna and in the mood which is favorable. No, but that's sinful. But giving people intoxication is sinful.
Maybe serving them still being passion to take
no. Anyhow, there may be, you may try and say it in so many different ways. But ultimately if you're giving people poison, it's still poison. So intoxication
people still ask for it, but if there's nobody that pulls them back.
That's all right. So people may ask for it, but it's up to you, that person whether or not they want to take the responsibility for the one who's doing it. Just like someone may have the karma to be killed, But if we voluntarily step forward to kill them, then we get them responsible. Now it may be arranged that someone's going to kill them anyhow. But if we're the ones who want to get the reaction, we can step forward to do it. Now they may drink beer anyhow. But if we want to become responsible for their drinking beer, we can step forward and give it to them. Now at the same time, we may be trying to give them Krishna. That's alright, that's nice. But you may get both. You may get some credit for trying to give people Krishna, and you'll also get the reaction for giving them beer. It's not one or the other, you get both. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad, Nectar Devotion, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.